And welcome back to Dr. Drill's Making Motivation Podcast, where the idea is to honor the most interesting and authentic people, to tell their stories and put some smiles on faces, maybe a little bit of fire of the asses under the asses of the masses. Now today, my friends, I've got my awesome neighbor, nicest guy you'll ever stink and meet, Mark Gonzalez. I call him Marco Citron or Optimarcos Gonzalez-a-tron, because he is a Transformers collector. And as soon as I found out about that, I was riled up to the max, because I was a huge fan of Transformers growing up. And he's got quite the collection that he's going to give us a tour of. So get excited. If you're a toy collector, Transformers collector, we're going to hear all about it. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon there, Dr. O.
Hey, man. Give us a little bit of a spiel. Like, when did you first get, how'd you get into collecting Transformers?
Oh, man. You know, growing up in the 80s, you know, I was an 80s baby. Transformers was my number one toy. You know, there was G.I. Joe and all the other 80s cartoons, Thundercats and all that great stuff. But for whatever reason, Transformers just shined out from all of them. So that was my toy when I was a kid. And you know, as you grow older, you know, they stopped for a few years making the American base. So I kind of moved away from the collections and everything. But when 2007 occurred and they decided to come up with the live action film, and just an explosion happened of Transformers amongst the collectors and the toy world again. And it just, I haven't looked back since. You know, I bought one at Walmart. I was like, wow, look at this. I forgot about, you know, these guys, they were so awesome. And then it just, you know, turned into what, well, I'll be happy to show you what it's turned into since.
Yeah, man. I could see some stuff in the background. Let's get right to it, dude. Let's see what you got. So give us a tour.
All right. Well, we definitely have a few things here. So I'm going to just get up and move around a little bit. Let me flip my camera. Oh, no, that's not flipping it. That's shutting it off. There we go. All right. So we're going to start off in the main cabin over here. And this is going to, and tell me if it's okay to shoot it sideways. This is going to be all your original, you know, G1 cartoon, you know, what you thought of as a kid. And these are all called Masterpiece Edition bots. So these are very, you know, what you envisioned as a kid, but not what we got at the local stores. And yeah, you know, so this is going to be the Autobot collection with all the Dinobots here.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so that, and then we have some of the more obscure, the smaller ones. We'll be able to, you know, see those. You got your, you know, Cliff Jumper, the guys that were in the original flight from Cybertron over here. And now we're looking at the Decepticons, and this, I know for sure, you will have some love for this guy right here, right?
Soundwave.
Soundwave, absolutely. And then, of course, him standing in his robot mode with all his minions. So
I love him, man. What are his minions? Now, one of the cool things about Soundwave, if we could just kind of zoom in on that rascal. So he, to the viewer, if you see, like, Soundwave always, to me, kind of had like a real radio type voice, like Soundwave.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in the front of his chest, there's chest plate, there's a tape deck, because back in the 80s, everybody had tape decks, right? So,
absolutely.
We're rocking out the boom boxes.
All right. Oh, it actually has a trigger button. You'll open it up right there.
And then his minions live in there. So they were cool. What are their names?
Yeah, well, you have the original one that everyone always remembers is Laserbeak. He was the bird. And then you got Ravage, the jaguar. And then these two guys are twins, Frenzy and Rumble. They used to just beat up the earth and destroy things. And then this one right here is Buzzsaw. And he was originally only a Japanese version bot, but then they brought it over to the U.S. Shortly after the second season, so he got his own toy release over here as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, you can put any of them up to two different characters can fit inside his chest at one time, and you can make those scenes with him, ejecting them out of his chest. Because again, 1980s, obviously boom boxes, radios, and tape decks was the thing, like you said.
Oh yeah. That's beautiful, man. I'm sorry to get. I just wanted to, I love that guy, so I want to see him. Carry on.
These are the best. The kind of a little bit of everything right here. At this point, this is all the original G1 first year of cartoons, second year of cartoons, and then we move into that. The song that you just played was from the movies, the 1986 first edition, and what you're going to see here. I'm going to flip it again a little bit longer. You'll start to see some of these collections, some of these bots that were only from the movies. You got Blaster, the new Optimus Prime, which is Rodimus Prime, Ultra Magnus.
You say Rodimus Prime?
Yeah, this is Rodimus Prime here. The orange, that's, the bot that took over from the movie when Optimus passed on. He passed on the leadership of Matrix. And then you have the planet. I mean, if you know anything about the movie, there was a planet that was trying to eat all the other planets.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that's Unicron. That's him right there with all the minions from the movie. The new Megatron, which is Galvatron, and his minions back there are, his supporters. And really, really, then we take a step back and we start looking at the big bots. And these are the combiners, the planes, the aerial bots that turned into Superion. And then you have, Menasor, which was all the car bots that turned together, unified together to make this big dude. Another one, this is another Autobot called the Protectobots. They all were there to unify, make Defensor. And then, of course, this is one that everybody knows, and that would be Devastator. Probably the most recognizable Decepticon just because of his green look and so forth. And, that's him in combined mode. Nice. The individualized bots of them themselves in both the trucks and their robot modes.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Is that from the movie where he was like grinding up it was like a super duper construction site guy?
That's this one right here. So that one that's from the movie where they combine together to make another form of Devastator. But yeah, that was from the movie right there.
Cool.
So you got that. And then you have everything said, other big ones. These are some of the planets. This is Scorponok, the one turned into a scorpion / city. And then the Dinobot or Triticon, he was the original dinosaur that turned into a city as well. And then you're looking at some more of the other guys, Omega Supreme and Fortress Maximus, plus my hats. They're Phillies and Eagles fans, so that's all. and then this one right here, this is awesome. This is a full-on dead mask that you could put on your head, and it will actually make sounds and lights up with, sound waves, his sounds and everything.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And with all said and done, then is coming the new edition. This right here is the actual Cybertron itself, the actual planet that they come from. That's pretty hefty. He's about a foot and a half tall, 18 inches, 20 inches.
Wow. Two.
And then you can see some of these right here are now just smaller editions, smaller bots, which are all the same, but instead of taking up the massive amount of space that I have over here in this world, they take up a quarter of the size. And, just to go ahead, these are some of the newer stuff, the toys that are actually being made from the movie.
you know, with the Bumblebee being so popular, Optimus Prime in this new converted look. And then some others, you know, some of these are from the comics, the comic editions, you know, IDW comics, the original Marvel comics. So they actually make, you know, their renditions this way as well. And then the, I guess, you know, one of the questions that you popped up, well, what's my pride and joy? And I'll show it down here. And these are my Optimus Primes, but they are far and away the most exciting things because these guys auto transform. I mean, I could not, I literally just talk to them and tell them, you know, transform, and the mechanic behind it, it's an actual robot. The company itself is a robotics company. So, you know, when they decided to take going venture into that, I just couldn't say no. So, so I jumped into it and boom, there it is. So it's actually one of my favorite toys.
That's outstanding, man. There's so many questions I have just looking at those. Like before I, you know, the podcast, I told Mark, to the viewer that I was going, I had, oh, actually, I'll share it right now. There is a, for my son's fifth birthday party, I got him way into Transformers. You know how it is with parenthood, right? You try to, you're living through the kids and you don't want to superimpose, you know, completely your experiences onto theirs. But you're like, man, I know my son, he might really love Transformers. So I'm going to introduce him. And the movies were out, so we watched some of the movies and the cartoons. So we were collecting Transformers. So we have a bin, you know, Rubbermaid bin in the basement. And I'm digging through to try to, you know, find a cool Transformer. So I came up with what I showed before. Explain to the audience this character, Mark.
Sure, yeah, that's Starscream, right? And that's just a, well, what they would call Cybertronian Starscream, right? So that is his original mold before they landed on Earth. And so that, when you convert it, it looks more like a hovercraft type of, more robot hovercraft type of thing. Obviously not necessarily something that would have looked like a F-150, which is what Starscream.
Motion detected at the front door.
My apologies. that's what originally Starscream was when he was on Earth. So that is a pre-Earth Cybertronian Starscream. And then of course the look afterwards, you know, I'll show you the colors of what he looks like afterwards once he landed. But that guy is definitely, he's a good bot,
right? Well, he's not a good bot, though.
No, well, no, he's not a good. He's definitely bad. If you look at now, this is what Starscream looked like when he landed, once he came to Earth and so forth.
Got a little paint job, changes.
Yeah, change the paint. And this goes directly with the song, the Stan Bush song you put in. Because this is from a scene from the movie where he tried to become leader, and he was shot down almost immediately. But Starscream is a stand 100%, one of the top three characters or four characters of all the Transformers, recognition wise as well as toy wise. He's the fourth highest produced Transformer.
Check your volume there, brother.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Sorry. Got a little artifact there, dude. Yeah, I think right. For like for the Alexa notifications,
yeah,
you should make it be like stars or like a.
I was looking. I was like, man, there's something I could put in there. I can buy a patch or something to, you know, to change the voice and everything. I haven't found it yet, though. They have a bunch of games and things that, but I still haven't found Alexa to be able to change to Optimus or something.
That's cool, man. It makes me think, like, and in my notes here, I wrote, could you imagine, is there anything left out? Anything, any room for innovation in terms of Transformers? Like, you know, I know you got your dogs and stuff. Can you imagine, like, Transformer dogs, or is there something like I know there are a lot of them are like vehicles.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, the last movie came from the actual 1990 series, which was called Beast Wars. And it was a combination of the Transformers, the traditional Transformers, with the storyline being taken back before, in way back in prehistoric history, when we had, when, you know, dinosaurs, you know, were on the planet. And so they came out with a whole series that was dedicated to nothing but these beast Transformers. And I do have a collection of those as well. I'll just move outside of my office a little bit
here. Yeah.
And just move it over. Yeah, there goes my guys right here. But you can see here, this is some of those, you know, Megatron as a dinosaur, and Ravage, okay, Scorponok. These are all, they've taken a lot of the names and then convert them over to this new line here. Optimus Primal, the leader of the Autobots, is a you know, ape.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. And then the Dinobot, he's a dinosaur, obviously, the first Dinobot right there. And, you know, just continue. You got Spider Arachnia right here, and then her twin sister. They just continue to evolve with that series. And here, this is the actual ship that they came on, the Decepticons from Cybertron. It's called the Nemesis. And then we look at the Autobot arc. This is where they travel from Cybertron. And, well, if you're any kind of collector, Lego came out with a Lego Optimus Prime about a year or two ago. And it was like 2,000 pieces.
Wow.
But Sophia was able, my daughter, she was able to, she picked it up for me. And we had a good time putting that thing together, which was much harder than I anticipated. But we got it together.
That's interesting, man. That's cool. So she enjoys it too?
Yeah. She enjoys it more than my son. So we've gone to different what they call TFCon. So just conventions. You know, we try to be as local as possible. The furthest we went was down in Southern Virginia. So we went to one over there. We've been to Baltimore a couple of times. And the one convention they also have is in Orlando, which I was thinking about taking Sophia down, you know, spend a weekend, you know, hanging out and doing, you know, all the convention-y stuff.
So that'd be awesome. So they're Transformers at the convention?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, Cherry Hill every year, there's one specific for Transformers. They have a toy convention, just generalized toys. Up in New York City, but every year, a sponsored official Transformers event happens twice a year in the U.S. and then once in Canada. So it's almost every 4 months or so they have one. This year they're going back to Baltimore in October, but the first one just ended in March. That was in L.A. Then they're going to Toronto in July, and then the final one of the year will be in late October, early November.
Motion detected at the front door.
Sound wave. Dude, you need to give me a heads up about these things, man. I would go to a local one.
Yeah. The Cherry Hill one is pretty nice. It focuses a lot on just, you know, a lot of sales and stuff, but The official one that comes from is called TFCon. They do so much. They bring all the voice actors, you know, from the actual TV show. They bring 40 voice actors from the movie, the animated movies. Even the newer stuff, some of the actors have come up to, you know, just meet and greet, tell them their history of behind the, you know, what they've done and how much they enjoy the you know, the content and the history of Transformers. So it's pretty cool to think how much, you know, me personally, is such a small hobby or such a small thing in my world, but it makes a bigger impact on, you know, a broader scheme, a broader amount of folks, which is, you know, pretty cool to see that there's many people that have that, you know, that similar interest.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. I definitely am into it. And like our kids growing up now, you know, I started to say earlier, for Sam's fifth birthday, I dressed up in a costume and had another friend of mine attack me as Megatron. I was Optimus Prime. I'll show a quick. Yeah, we'll roll that sucker right now. All right, Sam's birthday party. Fourth birthday, I'm sorry.
Fourth birthday, okay.
And they took the soundtrack off it. I guess that was trademarked, so that's a bummer. But what are you gonna do, man? Yeah. What are you gonna do? I don't know what's up with the volume, but there's Megatron. There's my dog.
I'm trying to take Sam's cake!
We have to save the cake!
He's gonna steal the cake! Megatron's coming to eat the cake. He's throwing my brother-in-law's grass. Sam's getting a little bit, he's laughing and he's a little scared.
Don't get the cake!
He hurt his leg. Oh my god, it feels so horrible. I wish a hero would come save the day. I'm still lurking.
I don't know.
We need to save
the cake. And here I come. So I had to put like packing material in my freaking in my calves and in my arms there to try to make this look authentic. But my wife, I guess the mask broke and my wife threw it out. So I was pissed. But here I come. My favorite part of this whole thing is that he knew to run to the side of good. He didn't know that that was me. He was all distraught and crying, and he ran to Optimus Prime. He didn't know that was me. So that was really, that really touched my heart. And I kicked Megatron's ass in WWE format. And he knocked me down. He slingshots me into the turnbuckle, and I come back and drop the elbow. My phone, my friggin' packing material is falling out. Boom. That was it's a lot better. The shorter version is a lot better with the soundtrack over it. But yeah, that, so when I did that, I don't know if I shared that. Did I tell you that I did that?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, I've seen it before.
So, man. All right. So tell us about so you have the conventions, so you have access to that. I imagine you can buy these figures online. Are they, you collect something, obviously you collect for a variety of reasons. You would love the toy, but, let's talk about the value of these things. Like what is the most, highest value that a Transformer goes for?
Ah, Lord. I mean, there's so many variables when you're looking at if you're looking for some original, just the original toy itself, you know, as you can imagine, 1984, 1983, those are always going to, pull a pretty penny if you're in the third market. But for me personally, I've spent $1,500 on the robotic one that I was mentioning about, just because it's technically not a toy, it's considered a robot. but I mean, Walmart or the big retail stores, I don't know if I'm going to say their names or not, but the big retail stores, they're between $25, $30, $35 just for the basic toys that you see there. But most of my collection all does come from either online retailers or if I'm at one of the bot conventions. And they probably, for the normal size bots, they average anywhere between, obviously $90 to, $250, $300 in some cases. And then, of course, you get the bigger ones like the Planets or so, and they may, and the Combiners, because they're more like five or six bots that combine to make the bigger one. Yeah, those are going to be, well into $1,000 or $1,100 or so.
Wow.
So, yeah, definitely.
Are you looking for anyone in particular now?
I am at heart a completionist. So if I start something, I want to finish it. and I want to make a display and I want to be able to, you know, kind of explain it. And so at this point, thankfully, I have had great success at finding and being able to close down most of my displays. But there are still, if you don't know, there are still a handful, not a big handful, but a handful of bots that have never been made by any manufacturer. And it's just, it's just gaps, those little tiny holes in our system that, or in my system, right? And that it's just like, oh man, I still need this one guy. So yeah, there's a few bots, and when I say less than, probably about six in total, that have not been manufactured, and they're more obscure, right? Broadside is a triple changer robot for the Autobot team. Mm-hmm. That came out, that was, you know, 1988, 1989, and they never really made a true toy for him. And so with that, waiting for that to, you know, come to fruition, you know, 30, 40 years, this is the 40th year anniversary for the release of Transformers in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, 1984, it was, April of 1984 was the start or the first, cartoon release. So with that, 40 years later, I'm still looking for one of those bots. So there's a handful, but not too many. I've spent a lot of time since 07, this collection has really started. And so we're looking at, 18, 19 years, give or take, whatever it may be. And, 16 years or so. It's taken that much time to go ahead and get it to where it's at now.
It's impressive, dude. That's an impressive collection. I had never seen it, but I had spoken to you about it quite a bit, and it's very, very impressive, man. I love to, whenever somebody's collecting something, especially something that you can, can appreciate, as somebody who grew up in the 80s, man, it's impressive to see that it brings you back. Do you remember when you were a little guy and sit in front of the TV watching the Transformers cartoon and all that, getting into it?
Absolutely, 1,000%. That was the reminiscence of just hearing the song after all the years. The original cartoon G1 cartoon song was such a big, it's such a trigger, right? And so with that, it just brings back that nostalgia. I just could not resist, buying the Blu-rays or digital versions of it just to go ahead and, the cartoons don't hold up like they throughout the years, right? A lot of the writing was a little bit suspect, but it doesn't change my childhood, right? It doesn't change how much that was the love of just being able to see it, the conversions. And for me, I love puzzles, right? So I think that was really what attracted me to the whole Transformers thing, because of the fact that I used to make puzzles as a kid, and then the evolution of this now converting, a car into a robot, robot into a plane, into a gun, tractor trailer, whatever it may be, that puzzle portion of it. And it's not like now, it was a much easier conversion back then, simple to transform, fun, they're simple enough. And you still got the feel for that I'm actually changing this to this, right? Versus nowadays, they're very nice when you stand up and you're looking at them. But some of those conversions are, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I was just thinking that when you're saying that, dude, talking about puzzles, I'm sure you have, both of these in your collection, but it's basically when the movie started coming out, I got this larger scale Bumblebee and Optimus, and they can be a little, for me, they can be a little bit challenging to like articulate and make everything fit perfect.
Without a doubt, that's one of the hardest things, is to, just because of the engineering and the amount of efforts put into from the manufacturers to build these, and they don't want to make it too simple, because then it takes away the adult collector and the adult fan that has those things that reminisces. But on the thread, they can't make it so complicated that they're going to lose kids and say, oh well, then I can't play with this, it's too hard. So it becomes a fine line, but the conversion on some of these definitely are confusing.
In my notes here, I wanted to ask you about the movies.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got to take it for what it is, right? sci-fi. It's fun. The explosions. Could it really happen? I don't know. but I don't walk into the movie expecting Oscar performances. I'm going to really take it for what it is. So they are good action fun. You know, I love the fact that they start to include different characters. John Cena was in one or two the last couple. Mark Wahlberg. So these are pretty big action people that they're trying to include, not just have the crazy robots, you know, blowing things up, but have some storyline behind it.
Have a storyline.
Yeah, and so I can appreciate it. Being a purist, a Transformers purist, so much of the inaccuracies and incontinuity between what the movies deliver and what is happening with the original cartoon. Well, that sometimes, you know, it's like, that's not how that story goes. But you know, that again, that's just that purist in me.
Yeah. Now, what you work in technology, right?
I sure do. Yeah.
So can you imagine? You kind of touched on this a couple minutes ago, but is it possible that you in your Transformers lair there that you are creating a country transformer or?
Look, the business I'm in, there we have a lot of projects, dark projects, right, that are still, and with the advent or the continued evolution, let me say it that way, the continued evolution of AI, it's almost impossible for me to believe that some level of this Transformers world is already here, right? I mean, all I have to do is talk to my phone and my vacuum cleaner upstairs starts to go vacuum, right? And, you know, same thing with the, you know, a dishwasher. You know, all I got to do is, hit two buttons on my phone and my dishwasher will kick on. So the evolution of technology is just as it is. And looking at the, the older cartoons and looking at the way that our world is now, there's a lot of overlap. So to become autonomous robots and have their own mind, I don't know. That's I hope not. But with everything said and done, to be able to have things convert or have the ability for AI to continue to develop and even more helpful for what happens in society now. Absolutely, I think it definitely is going to happen.
Yeah, man, I could see it. Even like I don't even want to say her name, but I have a couple of those little in the office here with linked up, and sometimes she gets a little antagonistic. I think she might be a Decepticon because the speakers don't link. So, but I think that I can imagine a time. Very, not too long from now, where we can say, like that, even something very useful, like in terms of like an old person having a companion and somebody, I'm going to ask you a question, like I can ask her the weather or set an alarm or all that stuff that even you always, you're linked up with the dishwasher and stuff.
Yeah,
that's the next level, but I can imagine that, and it'd be interesting. Now, I see you have that Decepticon cap on, but
yeah,
I regard you as a really good guy. Like, most cartoons and mimics life, right? So there's always like the good guys versus the bad guys.
Sure.
And I could definitely imagine how in this crazy world today, we could use some Transformers helping us save the day and saving us from ourselves, right?
Oh, without a doubt. For me, I am an Autobot, right? Man, that's
one of
what, yeah, all the way. As a collector, as a toy fan of just the series, I don't have any problems enjoying Decepticons or enjoying the shows or with them as the centerpiece. But Optimus Prime, he's the
always standing on the side of right. So it's never, he unwilling to compromise no matter what would happen to him. And if you look at that, just that as a standpoint, as a foundation, yeah, we need people like that. We need leaders, and we need politicians, and we need, you know, school board members, and we need friends and neighbors that are always going to be there to do what's right versus what's in it for them, right? And to see that type of, you know, and it, even in the more current films, they're always trying to drive home a point, a social point, which I can appreciate them trying to do. But, you know, to have that foundational character that no matter what will always stand for the rights of what's right, not necessarily what's right for them. Optimus Prime is that guy, right? And so for all measures, for everything else, that's who I am. That's who I tried, you know, to look towards and say, all right, so that for me, yeah, we can definitely use a couple more guys like that.
Yeah. So it's a great thing. I think I regard that. Like, I remember that distinctly about Optimus, like selfless, gonna do right. And then of course the other side of that coin is Megatron, who is just, you know, hellbound, determined to destroy everything. And it's a great storyline. And all the other characters, like we mentioned, our friend Starscream, he always seemed like he was a bad guy, but he was the epitome of selfishness. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Always trying to, like, yeah, like he wants to come into power, so he would even conspire, correct me if I'm wrong, against Megatron. Like,
yeah, he was making plans constantly to be the one to overtake and become the leader of the Decepticons. And,
yeah.
Very conniving, very, very manipulative, self-satisfying. You know, that was just his character. That was who he was. And whatever I got to do to get on top, right?
Yeah.
So that, and then you look at Bumblebee. Bumblebee has become one of the biggest names and faces since the advent, you know, since the cartoon, but more importantly, since they decided to make him a center character. And his whole any questions asked in a heartbeat. And in the movies, you've seen it happen a couple of times. But yeah, by all means, you know, to be able to stand up for what you want and sacrifice for what you believe in for the right reasons, you know, you can't get a better storyline than a robot that will do that, right?
And that's you saying you cut off a little bit there. Bumblebee, you're saying that he's like a bodyguard, right? He's always taking right. up the team for the character.
Yep, that's the character, right? He's always willing to sacrifice himself at all costs. So. Yeah, that's like I said, that's the kind of business I'm going to be in, right? You know, being a family man and always having that level of concern of what's going on and how make sure these are characters that embody what I want to go ahead and deliver to my kids. So
yeah, the type of people that we want to be, the heroes.
Yeah,
some say heroes. Some say our heroes can't meet our expectations of them.
True.
You hear that? But I think it's important to have some sort of ideal, something to look to. And as you said, you know, you think about humans, one aspect of human nature that is, it's wonderful and it's terrible is the subjective nature of humanity. Like I had a patient who he said his dad was instrumental in, he contributed to the Deep Blue or IBM supercomputer that beat our best chess players or whatever.
Sure.
I thought, man, that's so cool. Even like ChatGTP, I get on that if I want to have, like, you can search on Google and you're going to come up with a shitload of all kinds of other things.
Sure.
But then something that would distill out, like, look, I have a decision to make. What should I do, large or small? Like, assess the data, come back, give me the objective best decision that I should make in this regard, whatever the issue is. And then we just take it. Then we just listen to it. Like, but it's interesting how people will say, like, well, AI, look at the people that are making it, you know, like they're making it there. It's in Silicon Valley. These are people who are stereotypically liberal or, you know what I mean? Like they're making, you know, or it's like scientists or whatever, you know, or sure, academics. Right. That's almost been a, become a bad word because, but I mean, I think that human beings, when I think about the Transformers, and there's some subjective, seems to be some subjective human aspects. Like we talk about Starscream. He's not just like a, like on a mission. He kind of like goes renegade and does stupid stuff, but selfish stuff. But to have that ideal, to have something that would like communicate to human beings, like, hey, don't destroy this whole friggin', this beautiful planet.
Sure.
Let's help them help themselves sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. That's absolutely it. And if you look at the core, if you rewatch the movies or you go ahead and you start looking at the more that is an underlying storyline of why the Autobots had to leave Cybertron, because they destroyed their own planet. They, you know, they used and sucked up all the resources, and now they were forced to travel the universes to find another compatible planet that they can, you know, survive on. And that hits 100% home. We have finite resources here on this planet, right? So we're not going to be able to just indefinitely take advantage and suck the planet dry, you may say. And then what? Well, do we have the opportunity to go to a different planet? I don't know. I don't know if that very well, but it's a lesson to be learned, right? You know, appreciate what you have and take advantage and take care of it, you know, not just a consume, don't be only a consumer, but also be someone that gives back.
Yeah, beautiful. Seriously, bro. I'm thinking about it brings to mind our you know, I mean, and that's represented in all kinds of film sci-fi. Like think about what it was, the one with Pandora, Avatar, right?
Oh, Avatar, yeah.
You have this planet that's got, you know, rich with you know,
all the resources. Human
with resources and people that are living in relative peace, and it's like a, I guess it's like a what's the term?
A utopia type of environment?
Utopian place, and then but there's something valuable within the core of this planet, and you know we're gonna mine it, and right. Yeah, I mean it would be great to see. Oh, I know what I was thinking about when we talk about when I think about Transformers or even like Terminator.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Storyline, and give me your boots, your clothes, and your motorcycle. You know,
yeah.
You know, there's that iconic scene where Sarah Connor, now in part two, she said, no, John Connor asks Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, who's now good, we're not going to make it. I mean. And he's like, it is in your nature to destroy yourselves. So,
1,000%.
On the one hand, I would see a value of having like an Optimus Prime or some sort of like, all information gathering source that would give us, spit out the right decision or say, hey, cut that bullshit out. Stop it. It's not going to end well. I'm telling you right now. And on the other hand, I feel like human beings, if we start seeing as technology becomes more and more ubiquitous, there's going to be like an analog movement where people are going to be like, no social media. What's that drone flying in the sky? Are you spying on me? What's up with that freaking dishwasher? Like the other day, listen to this story, bro. I'm setting my alarm clock, and I decided to use Alexa. And I just said, set the alarm.
Who detected at the front door?
Of course.
Eliminate them.
Yeah.
So friggin'. So I set the alarm. Say, set the alarm for 6 a.m. She does it. And then she jumps in. She says, who sings that song, Chicken Fried?
Oh.
Zach Brown Band.
Zach Brown Band, okay.
Well, no, a little chicken fried. Okay. Oh, we're on Friday night. So she goes, alarm set for 6 a.m. And Zach Brown just came out with a new album. Would you like to hear it? Let me tell you something. I don't want to freaking hear it. I'm trying to set my alarm. I'm trying to go to sleep. I don't want to like drive something down my throat.
Right.
And sometimes they'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that human beings embrace technology, but obviously it's at the exponential rate that it develops. I think that there's going to be a segment in the population. There's going to be a division where people are going to be like,
enough.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think we're already there. I can speak from just personal experience. You know, my sister is only 33 years old. Okay. So, you know, fairly young for this generation. Grew up, went to school, graduated from Temple with, you know, her degrees in social media and communications. And she will refuse to update her phone, update her iPad. She doesn't want to go ahead and she's not into the social media world just because of how overly saturated and how, you know, presumably controlling some of these aspects of our life can become, right? Like you say, you know, okay, all I want to do is set up my alarm clock and now I'm being delivered six other things, right? You know, I want to know how the Phillies did, and I get a whole rundown of every NFL, MLB, NBA league, you know, that I'm like, okay, I may watch those, but I don't need all this, right? And so without a doubt, I think we're already coming to a point. There's some people that have already come to a point like, too much is too much. I'm just going to try to take myself, and they say unplug, right, as much as they can. And we already have a good population of people that way, but unfortunately, and I mean, double-sided coin, right? Fortunately and unfortunately, but you know, technology is not going to stop. It's not going to stop to evolve. It's not going to go ahead and say, okay, well, let's slow down. Let's have a limit. It's just going to go ahead and continue to move forward, leave people behind, and it's either adjust or be adjusted for. That's, you know, that's basically how it's going to work out. So it's tough, but you know, I being part of that world of technology and seeing the evolution of what we deliver at times and what we're trying to do as an organization for my company, it shocks me on some of the high-end materials that they develop and how much really goes into it. And it's like, yeah, this is definitely the way of the future.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The exponential, what they call it, Moore's Law. It's like the law of chip technology exponentially increasing. It's like it's cool, especially through its Transformers lens, because this is what we were turning to when we were watching little, you know, box TVs with more.
Some still in black and white, right?
Yeah. So. It's really cool to think about that. And it's a little scary too, but I think that it would be neat to have, like, you know, we talk about algorithms, which, you know, I've read and heard that and the algorithm on social media is more adept at better able to predict your next purchase than your wife or, you know.
Yeah, I've read that also. And it's amazing.
Yeah,
just because of patterns and everything. And again, in my world, I can appreciate it from one lens, from the work perspective, but from another, yeah, it's amazing. Like almost in awe of how much. And again, this is the very tip. We're at the early onset stages of AI and how it's going to be integrated into your vehicle, you know, your computers, obviously your phones. You know, the houses, your appliances, it's going to be just one big net of everything has to be combined in order for it to fully function. And so that's something that is, coming down shortly.
It is. It's pretty incredible. And I just hope that we can, if we could purpose, the thing is like, right, we want to be, we would like to be in control, better in control and better able to customize. I feel like a lot of the stuff, the intrusiveness of technology, a lot of it has to do around with like sales, right?
Oh yeah.
Like you know, how can like the social media, or how do they get, how do they make their income? It would be, it, social media could arguably solve a lot of important problems of our time, sure. But it's always, it's all about the likes and the clicks and that, that model and sponsorship model and all that stuff. So hopefully they can create a better, they'll get better at it. And because otherwise people will start turning it off, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've already seen the rise of some social media worlds, right? I mean, obviously with the advent or the continued success of Facebook, well, I mean, but people forget before Facebook, there was something called MySpace, right? And so that just got absorbed because it didn't adjust. It didn't continue to adapt to what the new level of technology was. So, yeah, I'm 1,000% on board with you on that. I agree. It's going to be something as it continues to evolve, but it's about using what we have for the good versus the bad.
Yeah, man. I'm with you, dude. We're Autobots. Yeah, yeah. Dude, we're gonna. I say that we create. We need to get with Henry. We need to make his van into a transformer. All the tools and stuff come flying.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Yeah, dude, that'd be insane.
You'd be on board with that.
And you know what? I have no doubt that he would put two and two together and start making something up. I'm like, look, I can make this happen.
In his shop in Harleysville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's amazing. The stuff that he does, just crazy. Yeah.
We'll plug for Urban Lux. Urban Lux, custom furniture, tables, woodworking, carpentry. He's a man. He's our neighbor, too. So we're three of us are Autobots. I don't know. I haven't seen too many Decepticons cruising around our neighborhood, but we'll keep on the lookout. That's why you got that sentry thing set up where you're probably yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So cool, dude. I enjoyed this thoroughly. I don't know if we... if we left any ground uncovered, let's see, AllSpark, that's the soul of every bot. Sure. We talked about Autobots versus Decepticons, that's good versus evil.
Yeah.
Talked about the cartoon, the movies, we got a little soundtrack. Transformers, very, very special, and we've got a collector in our midst. Folks, you never know who you have, who you're living around, and what they're interested in. Best get to know your neighbors and find out, you know, all the cool things that they're into. Marcos and his wife Annie and family, they're wonderful people, and I'm proud to be their neighbor, and I feel informed and inspired maybe to start my own little collection.
Hey, I'll be more than happy to help.
I definitely keep me in the loop as to those conventions, brother. I appreciate your time.
Hey, no
worries. Love and respect. And I like, as we like to say in Transformers land, roll out. Have a great day, brother.
You guys take care. Thanks so much.
Take care.